Grace to you and peace from our God, Father, Heaven, and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When I started thinking about doing this sermon, I started doing some research. I read and reread today's gospel over and over. I couldn't get any ideas to help my words. The story dealt with Jesus traveling in his ministry and met a crippled woman who needed help and healing. She didn't ask for help, unlike so many people of the New Testament who came to Jesus asking for healing. When I was thinking about the sermon, the gospel seemed straightforward, with Jesus and a synagogue leader talking about the Sabbath and what a person can do on this day or not do. So I thought it would be relatively simple to draw the things in that were involved with biblical discussion about the Sabbath. Was I fooled? For as long as creation has been here, people have changed and modified what is the Sabbath and what they can do on the Sabbath to fit the needs and their lifestyle. And didn't change to their faith or their beliefs as much. So in the earliest Bible, and one of the earliest verses in the Bible, Genesis 2:2, says, "And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done and rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done." So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on God rested for all the work they had done in creation. Today's the first day of the week, isn't it? Not the seventh day. With verse 2 saying that God hallowed the seventh day and rested, it doesn't explain how God hallowed it, how he rested. It just says he hallowed it and he rested. The Hebrew word for rest is Shabbat, which is the root word for Sabbath, meaning to rest. Rest how? In our gospel today, Jesus and the leader of the synagogue exchanged words on the meaning of the Sabbath and what could be done or not done today on the Sabbath. If you notice, the scripture doesn't say he was a rabbi. It just says, label him as a leader of the synagogue, whatever that means. The leader takes literally the verses from Genesis that nothing, yes, nothing, can be done on the Sabbath. Yes, as a Jew raised in Judah, Jesus is trying to reinterpret the verses of Genesis. He has challenged scripture since he was seen in the temple as a boy, telling the rabbis what scriptures had said. And they left knowing a little better. He continued to do this throughout his ministry. Jesus put a spin on the language of the scripture, and I'm sure he received help from God as Father in heaven. And it's nothing new that Jesus did this when meeting the crippled woman of our gospel. In his debate with the leader of the synagogue, I think Jesus is trying to say that if you're doing God's work, this is acceptable in God's eyes, and acceptable to do this on the Sabbath, and to comply with the fourth commandment. By the way, the fourth commandment says to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Just to make it a little more confusing, remembering the Sabbath is the fourth commandment in the Jewish faith, and it's the third commandment in the Lutheran and Roman Catholic faith. In the healing, which Jesus did that day, is doing God's work, and he kept it holy. And that's acceptable to do on the Sabbath, to keep it holy. And when Jesus did the healing of the woman, the crowd rejoiced. Rarely does the Bible talk about the reaction of the crowd this way. Their reaction affirms what Jesus had done was good and godly. Do you treat Sundays any differently than any other day during a week? You must treat it differently since you're here in God's house. After you leave here, will you go back doing what you do the rest of the week? There are many things in the Bible that have varying interpretations on how you can treat the Sabbath. That many are different to people from different faiths in Christianity. Jesus spoke of the two things that you can do and can be done on the Sabbath in his debate with the leader of the synagogue. Jesus spoke of incidental things that you can do in your life the rest of the week that could be done on the Sabbath. He spoke of untying an ox or donkey in order to give them water if an ox or donkey is thirsty. If you owned an ox or donkey, you have to do this to have them survive. The Gospel of Luke has a number of stories that focuses on the Jewish faith and the traditions. As I mentioned before, the story today focuses on three individuals: Jesus, synagogue leader, and the woman. Jesus and the leader had different viewpoints on the theology of the Sabbath. The synagogue leader takes the perspective of the older Jewish traditions, such as doing nothing is the correct and proper approach. But Jesus presents a new faith and a new religion for the world that includes a new way of using the Sabbath in their lives. It says, if you properly care for God's world in the first 6 days of the week, God cares for us by allowing us to rest on the Sabbath. Jesus introduces another doctrine of the Sabbath. New Testament version of the Sabbath. Jesus tells us that on the Sabbath, the work of God can be done. And with the message of repentance declared and God's salvation offered. To make my point further, either earlier in Luke, before our gospel reading, Jesus is being challenged again, this time by a lawyer. Funny how that is. A lawyer asks, as scripture says, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit earth?" Then he asked Jesus, "What is written in the law?" Lawyers always want that. What do you read there? The writers of the synagogue use an attorney in other different understandings or different interpretation of the Old Testament version of the law or New Testaments that the Jewish used to govern their lives. Part of Jesus' answers changes, or should I say, reinterprets the Ten Commandments. This will certainly change the Jewish understanding in how they live their lives, as well as our understanding as well. Jesus answered the question by the lawyer, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself," thus giving us the greatest commandment. The original Ten Commandments were given to the Jews by Moses. And Moses holds one of the highest positions in the Jewish faith than except maybe Abraham. This doesn't change their lives. It changed their faith. Jesus didn't really change Scripture, but he certainly reinterprets Scripture. I think Jesus changed it so everyone can better understand it and live it in lives. With that, people can use a new understanding to live a different life. With this, Jesus says he's giving a new commandment with a new promise. So from this small story in the life of Jesus, it becomes immensely large to the meaning of for the Jews and Christians everywhere. It changed everyone's way of living, and to many others, it changed their faith. We didn't know it, but it probably changed our lives, even though we weren't born yet. But believing in Jesus has a way of doing that. So I challenge you on the Sabbath day, take 5 minutes, crack open your Bible, and read several verses of Scripture and think about it. Or pick up the Celebrate for today. Grab your Bible and read the verses before and after the reading so you can understand it better and have a new perspective. So just like Jesus changed how we observe the faith, may we grow with the understanding of how Jesus changed us all. May he continue to change us as we live our lives, so it's be changed just a little bit, as we become better over time with God's help. As you do that, may the Lord walk with us always to show us the way in all we do. And may we receive God's rest on the Sabbath.